Again, thank you, ladies. And now what I'd like to do is introduce you to Jackie France. You've met Jackie already. You know Jackie. And again, she's been involved with the ministry since the early 2000s, 2001. And then again, Stark County, when they were getting started and such as well. So Jackie has really been most recently very involved in our regional rep ministry. Started actually as a regional rep in 6 as well, and then was our chairperson. So now, Jackie, as she has shared, is on the CST, but again, the active ministry area is still under her umbrella. So she has some words of wisdom for us this afternoon. So Jackie France.
Jesus. I won awards in elementary school for speed reading, and you're about to get the brunt of that. Okay. I've been asked to share with you the whys and hows of Magnificat servant leadership using the guiding principle of Ephesians 4:15-16, but we're going to start with an experiment. On each of your tables, there's a little bag of parts, 3 cups, and a bottle of water. When I tell you to open the bag, did you drink the water? Uh-oh. You're out of it already. Okay. When I tell you to, not right this minute, you're going to open the bag. When you open the bag, when I tell you to, each of you should get 1 or more parts. Your mission is to work together following the instructions in the bag to build a device that, I didn't say open the bag yet. obedience. Your mission is to work together following the instructions in the bag to build a device that demonstrates how the Holy Spirit works through the body. The first person that gets done, just stand up. As soon as you have it done, stand up, okay? And that's when we'll stop. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. If nobody's stood up in 5 minutes, we're going to stop, okay? Ready? Open your bag. Okay. Whoops. All right, everybody, you can relax. Oh, you got done too? Good. Woo. I'm going to let a few more people finish. Okay. Have one person raise your hand if you're done. Oh my gosh, this is wonderful. Okay. You're done. All right, let's just call it a day. Thank you. Did you make it, Monsignor? Okay. Way to go. All right, here's some questions to think about. All right? Did you have the written instructions or the picture?
Picture.
Oh, so the picture better? You written or picture?
Written.
Okay. Our written instructions are from where? Where do we get our written instructions?
The Bible.
Well, I mean, the blue Bible, right? I can't let Monsignor be wrong. It's just not in my heart. Okay, so the Bible, which was the template for the handbook, right? Okay. And then we have picture instructions when we go to other Magnificat meals, but it is dangerous to try and do a breakfast from just having been at another Magnificat breakfast. All right, did one person emerge as your leader? How many of you had one person emerge as the leader? Okay. All right. Let me ask this. Did they coordinate you or did they control you? Did you follow the instructions? Or were you looking for a better way to do it? Did you have fun? Okay, so it wasn't tense. Okay, good. Thanks for your help with this little demonstration. And hopefully we can see from this little demonstration that we all have a piece and a part to play in building Magnificat ministry. Instructions are helpful. Working together makes it go smoother and we have more fun. So what does PVC, you notice that was PVC pipe? So what is PVC for Magnificat? Prayer, visitation, and community. We pray to hear the voice of the Spirit and to be empowered to do His will. We visit, spending time together, sharing faith, hopes, dreams, failures and victories, joys and sorrows, endings and new beginnings. Some of it one-on-one and some of it in small groups around a table. Visitation is a sharing and serving through which we build our community. PVC. All right. So we're going to be working from the scripture from Ephesians 4:15-16. This is an incredible scripture. I have to tell you that everything I'm about to read to you, you've heard already this week. Isn't that good news? Okay. So if you don't get it, you've heard it. That's one of the places. We all seem to be on the same page. Ephesians 4:15-16, living the truth in love. we should grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, with the proper functioning of each part, brings about the body's growth and builds itself up in love. This is the path of Magnificat servant leadership. This is that to which we have been called. And we all need ongoing transformation for it to happen. Why such a time as this? Because Magnificat is needed in our time to be a sanctuary and to proclaim the greatness of the Lord to the world. Because this is a time of faithlessness, a time of selfishness, and a time of confusion. So we're going to be looking at the seven C's of Magnificat servant leadership. God has raised up Magnificat ministry at a time when an exodus from the bondage of the world, the flesh, and the devil is greatly needed, and judgment always begins with the house of God. So the Lord has said to the CST, we need to get our house in order for an explosion of grace and growth. We've been called back to Magnificat basics of Holy Spirit empowerment to evangelize and to serve. For us gathered here for transformation, Magnificat servant leadership is a pathway to holiness and a monstrance to draw others to Christ. So let's take a journey together on the seven C's. No surprise here, our first C is confession. Confession is a word that for Catholics often brings the idea of the confessional for reconciliation, and we do mean here a coming to grips with the reality that we are sinners in need of a Savior. God, in his great mercy and love for us, has provided our Savior in the person of Jesus Christ. So we confess Jesus Christ is Lord. We also readily admit that we have no power in ourselves alone to make the changes necessary to be true lovers of God. So we invite and receive the Holy Spirit into our lives because he is the true source of transforming power. Without him, we can do nothing, but fully open to him, it becomes impossible not to proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Our second C is our call. Once we've confessed Jesus Christ, our Lord, he calls us. We all have a call. First, God calls us to himself, and then he empowers us to call others with our lives. Jesus tells us in John 15:16-17, it was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another. Then, in calling us to himself, we are invited to become holy as he is holy, by obedience to the Father through the Spirit, as it says in 1 Peter 1:14-16. Like obedient children, do not act in compliance with desires of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in every aspect of your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. God has given us the perfect model of holiness in Mary, our mother, a true handmaiden. And that word means bondservant. It means slave. It means, I love my master so much, even if you offered to set me free, I wouldn't go. We are handmaidens, bondservants of the Lord. And Mary is our perfect model of, and the epitome of humility, trust, and obedience. As our mother, she grows us up in the virtues of humility, trust, and obedience, and all the other virtues. As our queen, She crushes the head of the serpent, defeating the enemies who spread lies from within and from without. So our mother's not just our gentle mother, which she very much is. She's our powerful queen. Our next C is commitment. Right? Yes. We won't fulfill. We can't possibly fulfill our calling without great commitment. Jesus learned obedience and was transformed through his suffering. Are we better than our master? Of course not. He did it once and for everyone so that all our individual and corporate suffering can be transforming, all of it. Everyone, every bit of it, how, no matter how big or how small, can be transforming. Commitment gets us through the many life-changing processes we need to get through in order to become holy as he is holy. Service in Magnificat is a pathway to holiness. You're going to hear that me say that over and over again. It's a pathway. It's one of many ways that we can become holy. It's the one that you have chosen. The Holy Spirit uses us like PVC pipe, and he is the anointing. He was that water, that bottle of water that rushed. We're just the PVC pipe. The cups stood for the people that we serve. Our goal is to get the Holy Spirit to them. And what happens, and I can certainly attest to that for the 20 years I've been in Magnificat, is the more we let him in, the more he cleanses us. It's kind of like oil wells. An initial gush in an oil well brings out a lot of not oil. And so oftentimes as anointing goes through us, it brings out not anointing stuff, but annoying but not anointing stuff comes out of us. And we have to be willing to let that happen so that ultimately we can be that clean vessel that lets the Holy Spirit run all the way through us, and the people we serve get? They'll get him. They'll get Jesus. God empowers our commitment when it's in obedience. We each must know that it is a path to which we have been called personally. Then what God calls us to do, he equips us to do. But here's the crux. If we leaders are not each personally certain of our call and equally committed, we'll probably have problems. Many issues impeding Magnificat leadership teams are being used by the Holy Spirit to expose weaknesses in being a true call or a really strong commitment. So if you start to have problems, you should be going back to the beginning, saying again, Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Strengthening your yes. We might want to think it is a time or distance issue sometimes, but we know in our hearts that what God calls us to do, he enables us to do. He gets over all the things in the way. The ministry came into being because our pioneers valued and committed themselves to a life of prayer, visitation, and community, which is our fourth C. Community means unity that comes from having certain things in common. We hold in common our confession and our call and the level of our commitment. Community requires dying to self. That's the hard part. To walk in unity of the Spirit. Scripture tells us that they will know we are Christians by our love for each other and for those who we serve. That means patience, kindness, bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things, rejoicing with the truth, even when it hurts, even when it stings, never failing. Love is what others need to see in Magnificat servant leaders. If we love, we will work through differences and assist one another in growing in holiness. United then in our confession, call, and commitment, Magnificat leaders form and serve in a community of love. Okay, Mary. So we come to our fifth C. And Father Lou made this perfectly clear to us. We're going to have challenges. Obviously, as soon as we put up a standard, we're going to get challenges to that standard. One of the greatest challenges in a group of heavenly-minded women is honesty. We don't like to hurt people's feelings. Honesty can be risky. But it's much more loving to have a painful, honest conversation than a deceptively friendly one. Ask me how I know. Magnificat servant leaders don't expect saintly perfection from each other, but they believe that each has come to the table with a sincere heart that sees the value of speaking the truth in love. In other words, you tell me something about me, I don't want to hear it, but I believe that you've come to me with a sincere heart. You came to me because you believed I had a sincere heart and would want to know. So even though it hurt, and maybe it's going to make me mad for a while, eventually we're going to work through this in love. I mean, isn't that like a marriage? So it's not like we don't know how to do this, okay? Maintaining our first love and our initial excitement for Magnificat ministry throughout the ongoing community building process is another challenge. Scott Peck talks about four stages of community building. He calls them pseudo-community, or the kind of the first community, looks good, then chaos, then emptiness, before we get to true community. So I might call that the honeymoon period, the fallout, the disappointment, and then the acceptance of the journey. And we're all on a journey. This is a pathway. It's a pathway to holiness. We'll never make it through these stages if we have a fear of conflict. We don't start wars, and we don't fight against each other. But we're not afraid to fight our true enemies, sin, flesh, and the devil. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth when we are open and honest with one another. When the enemy comes in with a half-truth, because that's usually the way it is, he's too smart to lie to us. He gives us a half-truth. You're inadequate. You can't do this. See, that's a half-truth. It's absolutely true of your old self. It's absolutely irrelevant because you're a new creation and you can do all things in Christ. So don't let the enemy harass you with irrelevant truths. Gaining real unity in the Spirit and maintaining it is hard work. And we'll likely pray and debate some more, pray and discuss and pray and ultimately see the light. We'll pray and praise God. That's work. That's hard work. And it doesn't get done in a day. And if you get it done in your formation process, God bless you. That's true teamwork. Believing in one another, discerning the differences between the Holy Spirit, the flesh, and the devil. Oh, nothing will expose pride and lack of commitment like an unwillingness to receive correction. Or a lack of commitment, but only the regular fellowship of prayer in the Spirit can create the vitality, the life, the passionate enthusiasm for the Lord and love for one another that we need to permeate our meals and attract women, especially younger women. Young people are attracted to passion. We need to be passionate and enthusiastic. As for succession planning, we pray for our successors. In fact, we start to pray the day we begin our service, and then we keep our eyes on the horizon. That's where John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, on the horizon. and he knew there was one greater than he to come. The next CST historian may very well be sitting at a table right here, and I am praying for you. Yes, there are many challenges in Magnificat ministry, and they require us to take courage. Courage to honestly face challenges because they are really gifts. Gifts from God, and they won't be swept under the rug. Courage to identify that which is good and to address that which is not good if we're serious about being holy as God is holy. Courage to strive for the best and not settle for the good when we seek to praise His name in all that we do. Courage to use our problems, our challenges, our differences as stepping stones to transformation if we want to know resurrection life. Courage to walk the talk if we want to attract other and younger women to Magnificat servant leadership. Courage to use our gifts publicly if we want the Holy Spirit to be known and loved. Courage to live the faith in today's culture if we want to be a light in the darkness. Courage to say yes to Magnificat if we want to proclaim the greatness of the Lord. So take courage and fear not, for like Paul in the Philippians, we have the strength for everything through Him who empowers us, and our God will supply whatever we need in accord with His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Amen? Come to our final C, our source and our summit, Jesus Christ. Because He is our source and our summit, He is our holiness. Because He is our holiness, we can be holy. Christ means anointed one. And Colossians 1:27-28 tells us, it is Christ in you that is the hope for glory. It is He whom we proclaim. Christ lives the will of the Father. And the only way we will ever live the will of the Father is through Him, with Him, and in Him. Christ is a personal Savior. The one who calls me, loves me, and died for me when I was still a senior. No, I think that worked too. That was a pretty hectic year. Okay. I was a sinner that year, and a long before, and a little while after, too. So here we go. All right, but it's like Father Lou said us, you know, God loves you. Three important things. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Christ is first and foremost when He says with Paul in Galatians, that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live no longer I. But Christ lives in me. Insofar as I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who has loved me and given Himself up for me. Amen. Amen. Christ is the giver and the gift. 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. The purpose of all the gifts from God is for the building up of the body of Christ in love. And this can only be done in Him, with Him, and through Him. Magnificat is a ministry that wants to build up in love and so needs to be joined and held together by every supporting ligament with the proper functioning of each part. So the central service team, along with the CST ministry and the regional service teams, are Magnificat Ministries' supporting ligaments. These women, Magnificat servant leaders, have created and implemented helps to ensure the proper functioning of each part. Everything that the CST and the CST ministries and the RSTs do is meant to serve and support the chapters in executing the Magnificat objectives through prayer, visitation, and community. But ultimately, you're the women that make it happen. So what does this take and how does this look for Magnificat besides our seven C's? It takes charisms. Every baptized believer has the seven charisms of the seven gifts of the Spirit listed in Isaiah. They're charisms. Charism means grace. Everything we get is grace. It's free. It's a gift. The seven in Isaiah are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of God. The Catechism says these are permanent dispositions which make man docile in following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. These are gifts, part of our spiritual genetics. They're part of your spiritual genetics. You are a new creature, and in your genes, you have these graces. You have wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude. If you ever doubt it, just repeat your baptismal promises. Just repeat your vows. I renounce Satan. I believe. I give. If we repeated those every day, we'd have a daily deliverance. These gifts are conferred through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. They're fed through Eucharist. So a failure to go to the Eucharist means these things get weaker. And they're cleansed of our fleshly contamination through reconciliation. I can't expect to go through the world without that contamination, but God has given us a place to go and deal with it. So let's deal with it. The power of the sacrament of reconciliation is incredible. In persona Christi, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He's there with us. The Isaiah gifts are essential to personal growth in holiness, a primary objective of Magnificat ministry. In pursuit of personal holiness, we seek to live the humility, trust, and obedience of Mary, which made her receptive to the life of the Holy Spirit in her and through her. Again, according to the Catechism, then, the charisms that we normally speak of in the charismatic renewal are special graces from the Holy Spirit by which he makes the faithful fit and ready to undertake various tasks and offices for the renewal and building up of the church. So it's kind of two focuses. The Isaiah gifts focus on my personal growth. The charismatic gifts focus on the growth of the body. We need them, don't we? We all need them, and we need to pray for them. So these are the ones like those listed in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. We don't have time to go through all of them. There's many, many things out there to help you learn about them. We have some things, I think, on our table about them. The baptism in the Spirit ignites these charisms. It stirs up that chocolate milk that Father Cohen talked about. Paul said to Timothy, to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So sometimes we have some ideas about gifts. We have some beliefs about gifts. Belief is a little bit stronger concept. Belief is a stronger concept than idea or thought. Okay, an idea can pass through your brain, a thought can pass through your brain. A belief is something you've kind of accepted. And if it's not according to the truth, it's one of those things that needs to be flushed through your pipes. Who gets the gifts? Well, we all got some. But nobody usually gets them all. Jesus had them all. Mary probably had them all. Why do we get the gifts? Well, they're built for building up the kingdom. God's kingdom, not our kingdom. If we try to use them for our kingdom, they will vanish. People's lives have meaning when they utilize their spiritual gifts. When you have joy, I'll bet you're operating in your spiritual gift. Joy is one of the biggest signs that you're operating in your spiritual gift. A greater capability of knowing, loving, and serving God with joy comes through using the gifts. So how do we know our gifts? Well, we come to know them by using them. You don't go to a doctor, you get a diagnosis, you got this gift, now go use it. Usually what happens is you start volunteering to do something, you say yes to some kind of service, and your gifts just begin to surface. Other people say, oh, wow, you this, you this, you this. That's the beginning of it, recognizing your gifts. The body helps you to see your gifts. We don't own them. We don't own the gifts. The Holy Spirit passes them through us to build up the body. The gifts open more and more fully as we grow in humility, trust, and obedience. As we grow in wisdom and stature, gifts can change. Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men after he returned from the temple with his parents. And Paul tells us in Ephesians to work together until they all attain to the unity of the faith, the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I really love the fifth joyful mystery, finding Jesus in the temple. Because Jesus shows us, I mean, there he was teaching the teachers. They were enthralled with him. I mean, what would you do if someone was enthralled with you? Would you walk away just because your mom and dad said, let's go home? But Jesus did that very thing. And then stayed in his hidden life for another 15, 18 years. He showed us that the gifts increase when we subject them to obedience. The gifts increase when we subject them to obedience. Most of our saints had to learn that the hard way. We all have responsibility to know and develop our gifts and help each other to do so. Gifts manifest in love. But we are earthen vessels. We receive the gifts, and to banish pride, we give them back to the Lord for him to unwrap, for him to enable us to grow in using the gifts in humility, trust, and obedience. When do we get the gifts? We get them in the sacraments of initiation, and then we get them when we need them. Jesus promised all the gifts that are necessary for carrying out the mission on the spot. You might be surprised what you can do at a moment's notice, especially when you are obedient and willing to do whatever it takes to complete the mission that God's called you to. Mary was receptive to the Holy Spirit's will and way, saying, yes, let it be done unto me. Yes, let it be done unto me. I say yes to you. You empower me to do what you've just asked me to do. So where do we use them? Well, we need to call them forth at all of our team meetings, at our meals, at every Magnificat event, and everywhere we fellowship with the body of Christ. Women who experience the presence and workings of the Holy Spirit are changed. He's the source of transforming power. When you get experienced at using the gifts at your service team meetings, at your advisory team meetings, then you will learn how to take them out to the fuller community. If you're not using them at your service team meetings, I wouldn't take them out any further until you've really got them down pat at your service team meetings. What could change? What could change if we spent 20 to 30 minutes at our service team meetings just praying for an upper room experience? What could change if you asked the Holy Spirit to come at your service team meetings, just like he came to the upper room at Pentecost? We all face blocks to developing the gifts. False humility is a big one. I mean, false humility is really just upside-down pride, you know? We think that we can't do something. It's really the denial of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray with Mary, our model of humility, trust, and obedience, and we pray, may it be done to me according to your word. It's God's job to do it. It's our job to say yes, not no, not me, I'm not worthy. Ordinariness is the belief that a gift must be spectacular and tends to overlook simple but necessary gifts. I had a spiritual teacher tell me a story one time. It was a story about an African man who brought a gift to a visiting dignitary, and the gift was just a small little carved trinket. But the dignitary was gracious and
thanked the man for bringing and casually noted that the man had walked 100 miles to bring him that gift. And the man simply stated, long walk, part of gift. Long walk, part of gift. So we must never forget that Jesus' long walk to Calvary is part of every gift that he gives us, no matter how ordinary it may seem on the surface. And don't forget, we spend most of our liturgical year in ordinary time. So to presume everyone has the same gift can leave one dumbfounded. You don't see what I see. You don't know. This doesn't make sense to you. We will either precipitate resentment or misunderstanding. And of course, again, it's false humility. Envy or jealousy will keep us from unwrapping and cultivating and using our own charisms because we're too busy looking in other people's gift baskets. Fears can stop the flow of our gifts or cause us to challenge the use of other gifts that don't make sense or scare us. I was visiting with the chapter that was trying to reform, and the people that had been called onto the service team were scared of the gift of tongues. They were scared of the gift of tongues, and so they wouldn't use it. Well, it was a difficult situation. One can become very committed just doing and doing, even good things. Recognizing our giftedness often redirects our energies and helps us know when to say no. Because every sincere yes requires a no to something or some other thing that you could be doing. So as we look at these gifts, which we're about to look at some, they're not all of them, not even close to all of them. But we have to understand that one of the first places they need to operate is on our service teams. So letting the gifts flow freely in our leadership meetings prepares us to bring them forth at our other Magnificat events. I want you to understand that the absolutely most essential gift of the Holy Spirit that's important at Magnificat events is hospitality. I think most of us don't even realize that's a gift. We don't even think of it as a gift. We have so many women in Magnificat, in the women that come as hostesses, as greeters, who are gifted in hospitality. And they are our gems. They are our greatest value because these are the people who make people feel comfortable. The Greek word for hospitality is lovers of strangers. Don't we need that? If we want to get new people at our meals, we need to be able to love strangers. We need to be able to go up to a stranger and say, hey, you know, we're having a Magnificat breakfast. How about it? Would you like to come? The hospitality is a gift of the Holy Spirit that enables us to make anyone feel welcome, special, and important. God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. Hospitality doesn't play favorites. It's not cliquish. Oh, you can't sit there. I'm saving that for my friend. Oh, this table is saved for my little group. Okay. Hospitality is not irritable. It is not sensitive to others, and it is sensitive to others, and it's compelled to serve them. So when you see that woman walking in who seems to be by herself and not with anybody, or she's looking around, that's the person you're drawn to. I got to see what that woman needs. Obviously, Magnificat needs this charism. Through this charism, the Holy Spirit will make us a community of healing so that we can be the hospital in hospitality. Whatever you're doing to build up this charism, to encourage this charism, is going to work at your breakfasts. It's going to bring more people in. Who doesn't want to be in a loving and healing community? This gift needs to be at our meals for sure, but you know what? We need it on our service teams too. We need it between our service teams and our advisory team members and our different committees. We need it. We need to be hospitals to one another. We need to welcome one another. We need to love one another in all our strangeness. Ask me how I know. everywhere we need this gift. It is Magnificat. Magnificat Hospitali, number one gift, most important. Thank you. Okay, another very important gift in Magnificat that doesn't get a lot of attention is exhortation. Exhortation is the next slide. I'm so sorry. Okay. All right. Another word for exhortation is admonishment or encouragement. And you guys might think of it more of as encouragement. You kind of recognize encouragement when you see it. Okay. Actually, the CST, we fervently are trusting that this entire conference has been an exhortation to you. That's been an empowerment, an encouragement, an admonishment. True exhortation is always a call to holiness. That is a complete surrender to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. If you're not doing that, you're not really exhorting. You're just being nice to somebody. It becomes admonishment when it includes drawing attention to something that is hindering that individual or group from flowing in the Spirit. When it helps to identify something that's keeping the Spirit and that group from operating at their best. It becomes encouragement when it bolsters someone who's growing weary in well-doing. Okay, Mary. Then we have the revelation gifts, and I'm going to go through these really fast. Prophecy, it's speaking forth the mind and heart of God. It comes sometimes in the fourth and as a public gift of tongues and with an interpretation. We don't usually allow the public gift of tongues without an interpretation because what do we do with it if we don't have someone to interpret it? Even Paul says, what do you do with it if you don't have someone to interpret it? So we have a gift of tongues that most of us, that is a kind of prayer language, but that's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the gift of prophecy. When we have the gift of prophecy anyway, we also need a gift of discernment of spirits. There's a supernatural discernment of spirits that literally they can see them in the room, okay? I wouldn't want that one, but I don't know how. Maybe someone here has it. But we're all called to discern the spirits. We're all called to discern the spirits. And how do we do that? We do it by taking absolutely everything back to the Lord. If you ask the Holy Spirit, he's going to tell you. He might tell you whether you ask him or not, but if you aren't sure and you ask him, he will tell you. We talk about the teaching gifts as just word of knowledge, word of wisdom. These definitely need to be operating at your service team meetings. How are you going to know? How are you going to know if you don't have these things? The word of knowledge is often just a pertinent scripture. Jesus promised that we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. The charism of the word of knowledge informs us when something needs attention, such as, get your house in order. The word of wisdom, which Jesus also promised that the truth would set us free, that charism of the word of wisdom gives directions on how. How do we get our house in order? So we have to have these at our service team meetings. Once you get a word of knowledge, you need a word of wisdom. These gifts of the Spirit and others are essential to Magnificat ministry, and we need them at our service team meetings, at our advisory team and ministry meetings, our prayer meetings, and all our events. But now for these few charisms, even that we've mentioned here, to operate, we're going to need cooperation. For all the gifts and people who exercise them to serve and actively contribute to the various ministries of Magnificat, we need cooperation. When each of the gifts is being utilized with respect for the others, there emerges a harmony and a sense of effectiveness in the group. The gifts will complement and supplement each other. Again, in Ephesians 4, Paul tells us how to cooperate. Living the truth in love, we should grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament with the proper functioning of each part, brings about the body's growth and builds itself up in love. That's our mantra. So how does it look? How does it look among our service leaders? Well, we need to be steadfast. We need to insist in believing the best of one another. We must be willing to confront attitudes. I used to be in substance abuse counseling, and I would teach them, attitude is a way of thinking, feeling, and acting. It's a way of thinking, feeling, and acting. And if you're addicted, acting actually comes first. You don't even know how you got there. But for most of us, it starts with either a thought or a feeling. The thought will provoke a feeling, or a feeling will provoke a thought, and then that will move us into some kind of action. We need to have Beatitudes. So we have to be willing to confront attitudes in our own hearts and on our teams that prevent or resist the free flow of the Spirit. We need to embrace our differences. Trying to be the same will kill teamwork and community. Being different is not the same as being wrong. Being different is not the same as being wrong, and it will take all our different giftings to know and to do God's will. Don't let a fear of conflict get in your way. Do the work it takes to unclog pipes and resolve issues as a team. If you don't, you may end up talking behind one another's backs. That creates division, not unity. Trust that the Father knew our weaknesses when he brought us together. I often think of him as up there saying something like this. Well, I have everything I need here to do my will. They're a little rough around the edges, but I can use this to grow them in holiness and love. I'll use a little rubbing the wrong way to expose and crucify the flesh, and ultimately to bind them together in love. And I'll do it all done. I'll get it all done while bringing about my will, my way, in my when. My will, my way, my when. This is the transformation process that will happen, Magnificat sisters and brothers, if we confess Jesus is Lord, answer yes to the call to holiness, and service in Magnificat. If we are united and determined in our commitment to become a loving and faithful community, when we meet all the challenges and the differences thrown at us with courage in the name of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Amen. Okay, good. Amen. So, Magnificat leaders have servant hearts. We serve fearlessly because we know that the other gifts will come when we need them. We say yes because we've been told by the Lord to say yes, not because we're sure we got something in our box of gifts that will meet the need. We know that God will give us the gifts. For the faithful, God is faithful to equip the called. Each time the Lord calls us deeper into servant leadership, there are new waves of pruning and purgation and growth. He gives us abilities in the Holy Spirit, power from on high, to do the new works he's called us to do. No, don't expect it to be easy. Don't expect it to be painless. But know, it will be worth it. We need to have each other's backs and be prepared to wash one another's feet. Okay, Mary.
There's no more? That's the last one?
Okay. So here you go. This is my last admonition here. So let's unwrap our gifts. And let's help each other to unwrap their gifts. Let our differences and challenges become stepping stones to greater holiness and love through the indwelling and outworking of the Holy Spirit. Let Mother Mary continually teach us humility, trust, and obedience. As we pray, visit, and grow community in love. And let's proclaim the greatness of the Lord throughout the world.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.